Well, thank you. I love you all too. I have a little show and tell I have to study up here too. So when Cindy first contacted me to ask about sharing today, I was listening to her voicemail, and I am an introvert, so I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be a negative ghostwriter. There's no way I'm going to be up there doing this. But I called her back, and she explained to me how I might be able to share how I'm feeling our Father's love through my current situation. So obviously, God gently nudged me to say yes, and here I am today, because not for me, but my Father, our Father, has quite a story to tell, and it's one of his faithfulness, encouragement, and love. Please excuse me if I do tear up while I'm up here, because this is hard. Not all of you know. Thanks for the Kleenex, Mom. In mid-February this year, I was... Sorry. But I got 15 minutes to get through this, man. I don't want to cry the whole time. So I was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of breast cancer. This type of cancer is a mouthful, and I'm nervous, so this could be interesting. It's called invasive pleomorphic lobular carcinoma. And let me tell you, it is very invasive. I expected the doctors to rush me into a bilateral mastectomy and then discuss treatment plans afterwards, because that's what they do when you have breast cancer, right? But that wasn't the case in my cancer. It is, as what my oncologist explained to me, the one that gets away from us. Surgery is not an option as of yet, as my cancer has, dang it, spiderwebbed up through the breast tissue and into my pectoral muscle. So it makes it much more involved surgery-wise and harder to recover from, especially since the cancer was stage 4 at the time of diagnosis. The recommended treatment was a hormone-block chemo pill with hopes of shrinking and containing the cancer to my breast so then I could have surgery later, like 6 months to a year down the road. And I don't know if you saw the prayer request that went out earlier this week, but at my checkup this week, it was determined that the cancer was growing in spite of being on the initial chemo pill since mid-March. And I'd been so hopeful because the pain that I'm experiencing didn't happen until after I started this first chemo pill. And so I'm like, yay. The Pollyanna on me is like, yeah, it's working, because I'm feeling pain, so it must be moving and we can move on and not have to have a more aggressive chemo pill. But my cancer markers showed otherwise. They increased quite a bit since April's blood draw. And so a more aggressive chemo pill is going to be added in mid-June, confirming that my heart, lungs, and liver enzymes check out okay and are strong enough to endure the new medication. This treatment plan is not curative, but is intended to prolong life 1 to 5 years. I'm going to just back up a little bit and share that I've always said if I ever got cancer, because I said I would never poison myself with toxins that are in chemotherapy and would treat it naturally, but then I heard the word stage 4 and terminal, and I had to pause and really reconsider. I have an amazing husband and 4 beautiful kids that I need to be here for. My conflict has been this. Do I take these chemo treatments that are sure to make me sick and harder for me to do life and keep up with my family? Do I want to put my family through watching my decline? Or since I don't feel sick, really all I have, I don't feel sick, guys. It's just an incredible amount of pain because of the cancer growth. But since I don't feel sick, do I enjoy what time I have left and forego traditional treatment? But how then can I not fight and stay with my precious family as long as possible? I shared these thoughts with my husband, Sean, who reminded me that only God knows when he will call us home. So we have prayed for peace and acceptance of his will. Whether that be many more years with my family or God's calling me home, because really, either way, I win. And I don't know what. These tears are hard to explain. I fully trust my Father in heaven, but the me on earth is still so conflicted. So I'm not sad, and I've never once shooken my fist at God and said, why? I have wondered, did I do something wrong? But that's not the case, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Getting back to my diagnosis in February, the doctors were a little pushy for a treatment decision, but I was scared and really needed to research my options. And I will be honest here, I was looking for any excuse to prolong the inevitable. And this is where my Heavenly Father comes in with what I like to call his little lifelines for Lori. And he had to do quite a few to get it through to me. I'm only going to share the most important ones. My father's lifeline number one. Most of you know that both of our girls are competitive gymnasts, so this news came smack dab in the middle of competition season, so I kind of kept the severity of the diagnosis on the down low because I didn't want to mess with their mojo. They were having a good year, especially Mariah, our 15-year-old, who was making a comeback after 3 years from an injury, and she jumped a whole level and was doing great, and I didn't want to shatter her comeback. So I shared that I didn't want to start anything until after the end of March with my oncologist, and he said, it's not going to make any matters worse. You're already stage four, so do what you need to do. So we made it through the last three meets of the season, and we were ready to watch the girls compete at state, and I continued to put off starting my treatment. And then on March 11th, my boss, I work at the gym where the girls compete, she sent me a text that said she didn't think I should be working at the gym, as being at the front desk put me at risk of catching all the nasty little bugs like cute little gymnasts being through the door. So I was like, all right. And then the day after that, the gym got an email from USAG, which is the United States Governing Agency on Gymnastics, canceling all state meets and further sanctions, which are gymnastics meets, for the rest of the year. And then 3 days after that, the gym owner decided to close the gym for a deep cleaning for 3 days because the schools had just received word that there's a big threat of the COVID hitting Kootenai County. And then by the end of that week, Governor Little mandated that gyms be closed and stay home. A stay-home order was advised. So in the scheme of things, y'all, God gave me a quarantine to take away all my excuse for delaying treatments. So to be clear, no, COVID is not my fault. It just turned out to be a huge blessing for me because I had all these weeks to start chemo, and I didn't have to worry about how the medicine would affect me, how it would affect work, and it wouldn't interrupt the meets that had been previously required for the girls to attend. A side note blessing is my boss also applied for the payroll protection loan, and she got an approval, and so I've been paid the whole time the gym's been closed, which another blessing from that is that it has allowed me to have enough year-to-date payment to qualify for Social Security disability, which I have been told upon application of my approval, it should be pretty immediate because it's a terminal diagnosis. And the blessings just keep rolling. I will still be able to work from home because their management system is online, so I could still call to make payments. And so I can work from home as a trade to help offset the cost of gymnastics for the girls. My lifeline from our father, number two, I had been researching alternative therapy, which is normally $90 a session. It would be tight, but Sean and I agreed that biophoton therapy would be a benefit to help offset the side effects of chemo. For those with inquiring minds, you can go to balancemellc.com and find all about biophoton therapy. There's a lot of physics and science involved, and I'm not that smart. It's way beyond my understanding, other than I can go in feeling yucky, and after I'm done with the treatment, I'm feeling normal again. I still have my hair. So after getting the green light from the oncologist that, yes, the biophoton therapy would not adversely affect my chemo treatment, we contacted Nancy, the biophoton practitioner. Before my first session with her, she texted me and asked if Sean, my husband, knew anything about building a website. So I told her, yeah, he does. He does it all the time. And so she suggested a trade, my treatments in exchange for, I'm going to cry again, for Sean building the marketing website and marketing her website. So here was God opening the door for this treatment. And she's also a believer, and we've had wonderful fellowship during our treatments. And then this, my father's lifeline number 3, this just went down yesterday, so not even my moms know about this yet. But a friend of ours, whose daughters also used to compete with Mariah and Carly, reached out yesterday offering her services at as a home health nurse. And at first I was like, I'm not there yet. But she said, no, really, you can have home health come in once a week to check your vitals and make sure everything's functional in between your oncology appointments. And so that coming in on the heels of this week telling me I need to have the more aggressive chemo and that it can have serious side effects on the heart, the lungs, and the liver was just a huge blessing, and I was crying about that. She'll be able to check my vitals weekly, and instead of having to wait between rounds, and that alleviated so many of my fears. So the details have yet to be worked out, but it will be covered under my insurance, and they come all the way out. I live out in Athol, and so she has no problems doing that, and the comfort of not just being a strange nurse coming to me, but somebody I've known and trusted for over 6 years. So that was amazing. My father's lifeline, number 4, and I saved the most meaningful for last. This huge outpouring of love, encouragement, and support, and prayers from my family, you all, my church family, friends, and even strangers. I have been flooded with cards. Rubber bands don't work. I have to use my girls' as hair ties to hold these together. But cards with encouraging verses. I have a care package, including a massive one that my sister-in-law, Jessica, orchestrated. And she sent stuff to both the Kane and Muscada sides of the family, and then they all sent stuff to her, and it took me like 2 hours to open everything, but it was amazing. One of which was a ring with notes on verses and notes of encouragement from everybody. And so I look at these, and I look at these when I'm kind of feeling defeated or having a rough day. That's helping, keeping me going. I've had flowers, so many gorgeous flowers. I've never had so many flowers in my life. And that is that they're just so bright and cheery and something to cheer your day. I got warm, fuzzy blankets, prayer blankets, probably enough blankets that I could probably open my own blanket store. But I love them. And I do share. I don't keep them all to myself. And I got this book on breast cancer journey from my mother-in-law. And it was cool because it was somebody local. She had it. She was there signing at Costco, so I got a signing of it. But what I didn't know, there's scriptures throughout this whole book. So not only is it a book about someone that's been in my shoes, but there's so much scripture to back it up and help support me. So that was amazing. I already talked about the note cards. So I just wanted you all to realize that your part in being able to praise and glorify our Father through the storm, not just me, but my husband and my kids, each and every one of you, is I consider you one of our Father's lifelines. And I'm so very grateful for that. Before I close, I just wanted to share some of the verses that have been shared by many of you in these cards and text. Oh, by the way, texting queens for encouragement are two ladies at this church, Amy Holland and Yuta Thorsnes. It's like God knows when I needed something, and these two have been just so amazing, so thank you for that too. But these verses have been and will continue to be my rock as my battle rages on. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I'm going to cry again. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my stronghold. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. John 14:18, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hands. In Lamentations 3:21-24, this is on my Bible cover. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And please, one last thing, as I'm feeling led to share this. This excerpt was written by Roy Lesson and was on a card that was sent to me from one of our dear sisters, Jackie Eberl. Yep. Difficult things may cause us to ask, why did this happen? But if we're trusting in Christ, we never need to ask, how could he let this happen? God may never reveal all his reasons to us, but he has revealed his character to us. His character assures us that he will never make mistakes, is never uncaring, and that he never separates himself from our need. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you today. And as I leave to take my seat, please listen carefully to the words of the song that will be played. This song fits my current circumstances so perfectly. And this daughter truly does trust her father, even in times of trouble. Thank you.